Hi, everyone. I'm Nishant Tucker. I'm a technical product manager with the big data team at Microsoft. In this video, we're going to discuss about understanding USQL query executions. With us, we have Savin today. Savin, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Savin Reddy, and I often have to explain this topic, and it's the fundamental basis for understanding how you can actually know what USQL is doing and how to optimize and how to get USQL queries to perform better, right? So once you understand this with USQL, performance and optimization, which we won't cover right now, will make much more sense.
Awesome. Okay. So we're talking about query execution, and we hear this a lot in relation to the SQL Server world or the relational world as such. We've not seen this so much in the big data world as to, okay, let's go ahead and determine a query execution plan, or let's see what the execution workflow looks like. What do we know about query execution in USQL?
Well, the fundamental thing is, you know, we have a model of execution, right? And you're going to see some terms I'll talk about, like vertices, stages, degree of parallelization. And once you understand the model, you have a way of reasoning about what the query is doing, why it's doing what it is, and ways you can optimize and make it perform faster. This is just the base understanding necessary when you start doing big data with USQL.
Awesome. So, in essence, what you're telling us is there's already a framework ready for developers to look into the query execution
and
go ahead and determine what are bottlenecks.
That's right.
Probably go ahead and see where the heat maps lie, and then take
action
accordingly.
Heat maps will make sense once you understand this.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And it is actually very simple conceptually.
Mm-hmm. So, what can you show us today?
Okay, so I'm showing two things here on this slide. On the left side, you see a SQL, USQL script. On the right side, you see a graph. Let me tell what this is. On the left is, again, a USQL script. You notice it doesn't say anything about the cluster.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about parallelization.
Yeah.
It's just a logical interpretation of how to take some input and map it to output. And you can see what the script is doing. It's very simple. It's just reading in some data, and it's filtering some rows and writing it back out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is what we'll call the logical plan,
okay.
Right? It's just a description of a transformation. On the right is how Azure Data Lake perceives this logical plan, and it sort of compiles into a what we'll call sometimes the physical plan or the cluster plan.
Okay.
And this depiction is we often refer to as just the job graph, okay? Because it is a graph.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you stare at it, you'll notice there's a top piece, which is the input, and there's a bottom piece, which is the output.
Okay.
Now, before I go any further, let me tell you, this is a very simple script. I've actually pasted in a picture of a more complicated plan.
Okay.
Right? So, in reality, this job plan would be only one green box here.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Okay.
I'm giving you something more complicated just to think about it, right? So, again, logical to physical.
Right.
Right? And what I'm going to talk about is the basis of this physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some words in there, some concepts, and then you'll be able to understand these charts or these graphs much better when you're using USQL in our Visual Studio tooling.
Right. And a question that comes naturally to me is, I'm assuming all of this is happening automatically. There's nothing that the developer needs to do to make this happen or tune or aggregate or put together in a set of code blocks or anything for it to execute in the
physical plan is happening automatically, but it's a model there. You need to understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I'm going to teach you what it means, right? So let's start. And this is a screenshot now of our developer tools for Azure Data Lake inside of Visual Studio, saying the graph is on the right, the plan, the cluster plan, and on the left is some details about the job. Not so important to really focus on. I just want to show you the screenshot so you understand what it looks like in practice.
Agree.
Okay. So on the left, some information about the job. Okay. Now, the key concept that drives all this is why it's important, is this concept called degree of parallelism.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is not a phrase we invented. This is a word a concept that exists in distributed computing.
Yep.
Right? It's how parallel a computation can be at any given moment in time.
Agree.
Okay. So degree of parallelism, what you do is when you submit a USQL job, you up front when you submit it, you say, I would like to reserve a degree of parallelism for it.
Okay. And that A could be anywhere from 0 through to
Well, it can't be 0
thousand.
Because okay. then there's nothing can
There's
run.
No parallel. Okay. So it has to be at least 2.
It has to be at least 1.
All right.
1. Okay. Well, for the job to run, it's 1.
1.
To at least parallel is 2.
2.
Now, by default, a U-SQL query, our slider for parallelism goes from 1 to 50.
Okay.
Okay. And you can ask us to improve, increase the limits if you want to much bigger numbers. But what you're saying is, I mean, I'm simplifying here. When you that number, the degree of parallelism slider,
right?
You're saying, reserve for me that many containers. That's the easiest way of thinking about it.
Okay.
Okay.
And what do you mean when you say containers in the context here?
We could use a different word. You could think of it as like reserve for me, you know, 5 nodes, 5 containers, or 5 VMs.
Okay.
Right? Just whatever you perceive as a unit of computation.
Okay.
Right? Now, I said containers and VMs. We do not use VMs in this sense exactly.
Yeah.
Just think about it as a amount of parallelization.
Yeah.
And if it helps to think of it as a machine or a VM, great.
So it could be threads.
It could be something like that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to over-focus on it because that's getting too deep, really. Right?
Right.
Just think about parallelization, right?
Okay.
And so you're going to say, I want to try, you know, reserve these containers for parallelization,
mm-hmm.
okay? So then there's 2 things that come into play here. The first is, well, can your job actually be parallelized to that degree,
Great.
Right? And then there's a cost issue, which is, am I asking for more containers than is useful?
Right.
Or am I asking for not enough? Maybe if I ask more.
Or maybe I'm just asking for more number of containers for a very small period of time of execution.
That's
so
right.
Let's say the execution's about 20 minutes, but only for about half a minute did I need those higher number of containers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And why this is important is because you pay for the time, the duration of the job, times the number of containers you've allocated.
Right. So that has a cost implication.
So, you know, if you think of any job, it doesn't mean if you dial up the slider to 50 or whatever number, it doesn't mean necessarily things got better.
Yeah.
They definitely got more expensive.
Yeah.
But things may not have happened faster. And I'll try to illustrate why that's the case. Okay, now let's get back to this logical physical plan stuff, right? Left is logical, right is physical. Mm-hmm. But the physical plan is mapped into a series of amount of work.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how much work it is, it's some amount of computational activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's kind of known up front at some level what this is.
All right.
Okay, and forget the magic that makes this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what we do is we distribute that work, that chunk of work, into smaller pieces. Okay? Those smaller pieces are called vertices.
Yeah. Right?
Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And each square is, of course, a vertex.
Yeah.
Okay? And there will be a fixed number of vertexes.
Okay.
For this job,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, don't over focus on how many vertexes and how do I control.
Right. Have
an advanced topic. It's more indirect how this is controlled.
Okay.
But just assume we analyze it based on the data you have in your data lake store, and then we can figure out how to distribute the work in these small pieces.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. So, amount of work, small pieces called vertexes.
Mm-hmm. So are these individual pieces all isolated from each other?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. Okay, so we have here now, I have said there are 20 pieces of work, 20 vertices.
Right.
Okay. Now I submit a U-SQL script and mm-hmm. I say 1 for degree of parallelism. That's what DOP means on my slide.
Okay.
Now, blue in this, this diagram is going over time.
Okay.
Right? So top, you know, down over time. At the top, nothing's running.
Right.
Okay. Second line, 1 vertex is running.
Okay.
Why not 2? Because I've only reserved
1.
All right. Obviously, right? Once that's done, the next one begins, and this thing is over. It's green now.
Okay.
So it's pretty obvious this unit of work just goes over. It's
like one after one after one after one.
Yes. Okay. Hey. Very simple.
It's sequential and not parallelized.
By definition, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If I said 4, this is kind of the best case. Mm-hmm. I'm doing 4 at a time.
Okay.
Right? And you can just see, in this model, this thing is, you can sort of intuit, it's 4 times faster.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we get a little bit of what you were asking about earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Are these all independent?
Yes.
That's okay. They tend not to be.
Yeah.
So vertexes are grouped together in these boxes called stages.
Mm-hmm.
Those green boxes I had earlier, those were stages.
Okay.
Okay. So what you're seeing this picture here is there's some set of vertexes which are in this big stage at the top.
Right.
And there's a middle stage which has, I don't know, 6 vertexes. Mm-hmm. There's a bottom stage which has 2. And the arrows here indicate that the bottom one depends on the middle one, which depends on the top one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, why were the vertexes grouped into these stages?
Yeah.
Because the vertexes are doing something similar or the same thing on the same data.
Right.
Okay, so you can tell the vertexes in the middle are, you know, they're they're quantifiably different in what they're doing than the vertex at the top.
Okay.
Right?
So the way I understand it is, okay, this first stage is actually processing the same set of data that the second stage needs to process, or...
Well, it might be transforming it.
Yeah, or it could be the output of that first stage that the second stage is...
There you go. Now you're getting it.
All right. Okay.
So what might be happening here? I mean, this is a simplified graph, but let me explain what it might be. It might be the first stage is a reading.
Yeah.
Maybe it's doing some filtering on the reading.
Yeah.
Second stage might be doing some aggregation.
Mm-hmm.
Final stage, almost by definition, is doing output.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? Because every U-SQL script has input and output as the first and last things. Okay. Pretty simple. Now, in my simplified model before, we sort of did 4 by 4 by 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you might be led to believe that the first stage must be done before the second stage begins.
Yeah.
It's not true. In fact, you look on the right side, you can see that, you know, I've allocated a degree of parallelism of 4, and the first stage has 2 things running,
mm-hmm.
and the second stage has 2.
All right.
So I'm not necessarily blocked.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes I will be, sometimes I won't, but I'm not necessarily blocked. This, you will see this often when you see a U-SQL script run in the job playback tool in Visual Studio.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Now, let's just think about it. I say I'm going to submit a script with 10 degree of parallelism. And think of the cost as we will charge per minute.
Okay.
Right. The script runs 10 minutes.
Okay.
I am paying for 100 container minutes.
Yes.
We a lot of magic, right?
No magic. 10 into 10.
10 into 10, right? Nothing really confused about. Now, here's where it gets important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your scripts, even though you've allocated 10 containers, it doesn't necessarily mean all 10 can be used.
I agree, yes.
Right, at some, and this is by the way, so if you look at this graph here,
mm-hmm.
in the first minute you might see that, you know, and typically your job is only using, I don't know, 7 out of 10,
mm-hmm.
then 8 out of 10, then 6, then, right?
Right.
This is actually quite typical of a...
any job that executes.
A vertex usage, right? Mm-hmm. You tend to see a spike at the beginning, then they kind of aggregate down, then you see another sort of spike, and they go low. Not everything has this pattern.
Yeah, of course.
But you see this very common. Now, here's the question. How much does it cost you to run this U-SQL query?
Of course, it costs me whatever I would pay for 100 container minutes.
That's right. It's 10 times 10, right?
Yeah.
So the blue part is irrelevant.
Yeah.
You paying for the reservation, not for what you actually used inside of the number of running vertexes.
Okay. Right. So, but then, is this information available for me somewhere to see?
It is, absolutely. In the Visual Studio tools we have for Azure Data Lake, there's in the diagnostic section for a job, there's a resource allocation view.
Yeah.
And roughly speaking, you'll see this graph.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll be able to determine, so let's look at this graph and pretend this is exactly what you see.
Yeah.
It's very similar to this. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you overpaying?
I'm definitely overpaying.
How much are you overpaying for this job?
I'd say at least 50%.
Well, I mean,
I would rather have it at, like, the worst case scenario, I should have paid for 8 containers.
That's right, because it only goes as high as 8.
As high as 8.
Right? And you could, if you run this job over and over, you might realize that, hey, this usage consistently has this pattern.
Right.
Right. And so then you realize, oh, I'm going to save some time. I can save, you know, 20 BDU, 20 container minutes.
Absolutely.
Right. So you would not go with a degree of parallelism of 10, but of 8.
But of 8.
You'll see that in the graph because but you'll see a line that says, here's how much you've allocated, but look, you're only using this much.
Yeah. Right. But what if I go with just 5 containers there?
Well, what will happen with 5 containers is, they'll all get, this graph will never go above 5.
Yeah.
So what'll happen is, you know, the ones that are above 5 sort of bleed over.
Right, right? Into the next
into
stage.
The next, so the job will run longer.
Yeah.
Right?
But
it might be better for you.
Yeah, but as I see, like, let me call each of these as threads. Mm-hmm. And then if I look at these threads, possibly there's just three threads which are executing beyond the five.
Yeah.
And then if I can probably optimize to a particular number, which is closer to five, if not exactly five, I should be able to bring my cost of execution of the query down much more.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, going into the how to optimize and all that is a much more challenging and deep topic, right? And we have tools to make it much easier.
Nice.
But you need to understand this, which
course.
Is, you know, the cost of a job and how it relates to degree of parallelism. And the fact that, you know, degree of parallelism is not, it's not a silver bullet. The slider, by moving it up to a bigger number, doesn't necessarily mean that your job got faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way your job is constructed may not be able to take advantage of it.
Great.
You know, for example, if all your data is small, small means, I don't know, a gigabyte, really one vertex can handle it. So if you allocate 50, what good did you do?
Great.
So this is the kind of reasoning you need to understand about the model. And this is the basis for understanding the rest of performance and optimization with U-SQL scripts.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So this is the query execution flow that we should be looking at from a U-SQL script standpoint to be able to then go back and take a look at how my query performed, determine certain factors where I could just go ahead and bring my cost down or optimize my query further to see whatever bottlenecks are there.
That's correct.
And then
and we have tooling for all of that.
Yeah. And it's as simple as black and white for us, like the number of containers to the amount of time that it executes. And the more important part, we charge you by minutes, don't
we? That's right.
Exactly.
By the reserved amount of parallelization you have.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Thanks, Sabine. That gave us a great understanding of what query execution and how we can go ahead and look at optimizing either the query execution time or the cost as well. Thanks for this information. And we let our audiences join us for the next video. Thank you.